Coming up, Southeast lawmakers agree on protecting state funding for fisheries, and what's coming up for the Skagway Assembly. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Barrett Wilbur. Those stories and more up next. The Alaska legislature gaveled in 2 weeks ago. Legislators are facing a $3 billion budget deficit for the fourth year in a row. Budget cuts have slashed state spending during that time, which has had meaningful consequences for one of Southeast's biggest economic drivers, the fishing industry. The region's legislators say it's time to protect the Department of Fish and Game. Alaska's Board of Fisheries is ending its deliberation this month, just as the Alaska legislature gavels into theirs. Fisheries are looming large for Southeast lawmakers. Representative Dan Ortez is an independent from Ketchikan.
This, to me, is one of the most significant issues that will impact our region and our way of life. The fishing industry is the number one driver of our economy at this point here in coastal Alaska.
He's starting his second year as chairman of the Finance Subcommittee for Fish and Game. He oversees the annual budget process for the department, where legislators look at the level of funding proposed by the governor and decide to pass or change it. Lately, those changes have been cuts. Alaska's fiscal crisis has seen the state budget cut 44% in 4 years. Most of those cuts were before Ortez's tenure. He became chair only after Alaska's Republican House majority gave way in the 2016 elections to a majority coalition of Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. Ortez's opinion? The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has suffered enough.
I'm going to do whatever is in my power to see that they are not cut any further. And in this governor's budget, they're at the same level as they were last year. So
state legislators have already cut the department's budget by 37% and axed 182 positions since 2015. Many of those are seasonal research positions. Representative Jonathan Christ Humpkins from Sitka says those cuts have had real consequences for fishermen.
Cuts are getting to the bone, and with ADF&G in particular, when you cut too much, you have to manage fisheries more conservatively, which means you're leaving fish in the ocean, which means people aren't able to make a livelihood as they once were.
He says it's not enough to advocate for the department's budget alone.
I mean, sort of go ahead and equate that if you don't like the way ADF&G is staffed right now, then you should be advocating for a fiscal plan.
Representative Sam Keto III from Juneau links that big picture to something specific, declining returns of king salmon. The department doesn't know why king salmon aren't coming back from the ocean, he says, and that's clearly a place where more research would be valuable.
So the challenge we have is we don't have the budget for that. The problem is if we don't spend that money, we're not going to have the research to be able to make reasonable allocation decisions.
Representative Justin Parrish, also from Juneau, agreed. To make good fisheries decisions, the department needs good data.
When we cut people, we can interrupt data sets that are vital for understanding which direction the populations of fish in the state are going and how we can help mitigate likely adverse effects in the future.
Senator Dennis Egan from Juneau perhaps put the overriding sentiment most succinctly. Let biologists do their jobs.
You know, I'm not an expert biologist. Those guys are the experts. I mean, I rely on them.
While the department is expert at managing and maintaining fish stocks, they can't set their own budget. They'll be depending on legislators for that. In Haines, I'm Barrett Wilbur. At a meeting Thursday, the Skagway Assembly is set to review a risk assessment of the Oar Basin. The report was prepared by Golder Associates for White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. The railroad will present the findings to the Assembly. In a letter to Mayor Monica Carlson and the Assembly, White Pass President John Finlayson says the Department of Environmental Conservation has been contacted about organizing a stakeholder meeting. Finlayson says after that, a public information session will be planned. The Oar Dock is front and center in Skagway right now. It's where the municipality wants to renovate to accommodate larger cruise ships in coming years. KHNS will have further reporting on the risk assessment in coming days. The Assembly may also consider adopting two separate ordinances. One would amend the FY18 budget to account for an increase in computer support services. The other would amend the budget to reflect several different expenditures. Those include public safety facility, communications equipment and services, and an increase in cost of a new garbage truck. It also includes engineering services for both the Seven Pastures Flood Control Project and an emergency electrical upgrade to the Garden City RV Park. Both ordinances will have public hearings. Also on the agenda is a discussion about the possible development of a seasonal campground to help alleviate housing issues. And the Assembly will talk about the Garden City RV Park. It will discuss extending utilities over the Skagway River. The meeting is Thursday at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. You can listen live through a link on our website at khns.org.
Juno Dr. Norvin Perez applied to the state board that licensed marijuana businesses late last year. Then board chairman Peter Mlarnik had this question for the doctor.
I'm trying to think how to put this. Have you ever suggested cannabis or cannabis products as something that one of your patients might want to consider?
Yes, the doctor replied, but less than 10 times. There was concern on the board that the doctor's Juno Medical Clinic and pot business would be intertwined. Not so, he said. The two might share the same address, but they'd have separate entrances and keep different hours. Still, some say confusion is inevitable.
You're advertising this as a medical facility. This is urgent care. All of that's advertised up front.
Lauren Jones sits on both the Alaska Marijuana Control Board and the Juno Assembly.
And then you have this marijuana business in the back, in which it'll be probably minimally advertised, minimal signs, but people will still connect that medical practice to the marijuana.
Despite his reservations, Jones voted to approve the doctor's marijuana permits. He said there wasn't any legal reason not to.
We have setbacks from churches, schools, correctional facilities, daycare if you want. We don't have any rules about setbacks away from medical facilities or doctor's offices.
Dr. Perez declined to be interviewed. So did his business manager, who said it would be premature to talk ahead of the business opening. This won't be the first Alaska doctor going into the marijuana business, but the arrangement is unique. In Alaska, the regulated sale of marijuana is legal, but retailers cannot make medical claims about their product. Medical marijuana can be grown and supplied to patients as long as no money changes hands.
There is no medical market from a standpoint of anybody that can grow it or dispense it and then sell it to a patient. That market does not exist.
Dr. Matthew Peterson is a practicing physician in Wasilla who also owns a marijuana business. Doctors are protected under the First Amendment to recommend pot to their patients. But if they're also licensed to sell it, that's where medical ethics make it tricky.
You know, the advice that I was given was, because I'm in the industry and I'm also a medical professional, that it would be a conflict of interest to put myself in a position where I'm recommending medical marijuana. And so if I have a patient that's wanting to do this, I would not be the one that is making that recommendation.
Then there's the feds. The possession and sale of marijuana remains illegal under federal law, and it's the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration that issues licenses to the nation's doctors to prescribe drugs. So doctors have to tread carefully.
Our DEA registration is the license that allows us to prescribe controlled substances. So as a physician, if you cannot prescribe controlled substances, then it kind of limits your medical practice. So I don't put myself in that conflict of interest.
What does Alaska's mainstream medical establishment think about physicians profiting off pot? Hard to say. Both the head of the Alaska State Medical Association and the state's chief medical officer declined to comment. But the state's marijuana industry is pleased that more doctors are entering the business.
I think it's great. I think, of course, he's going to need to maintain a strong wall between the two businesses, which I'm sure he will.
Lacey Wilcox sits on the Alaska Marijuana Industry Association's board. She also has a marijuana business in Juneau. She's glad more doctors are endorsing pot.
We're not, of course, permitted to talk about therapeutic benefits in Alaska, but there's a benefit, and if he sees it and he sees it enough to enter into the business arena, then I think it's a great evolution for our industry.
It's likely Dr. Perez's combined clinic and pot shop will be scrutinized when it opens later this spring. The Marijuana Control Office's field agents have already cited businesses that claim cannabis is medicine. In Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
For KHNS News, I'm Barrett Wilbur. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. Thanks for listening this evening.